Ed Miliband is robust enough to cope with any questions about his leadership of the Labour Party, and he has my full support, so said former Labour Prime Minister Tony Blair today. And he's not the only one-time party leader now speaking up for Mr Miliband. Lord Kinnock has also backed him, attacking the cowardice of his anonymous critics. Well, had things turned out differently at the 1992 general election, Neil Kinnock would have tasted power himself, but he was beaten by John Major to number 10. It was not to be. Now, though, more than 20 years later, we can bring you, for the first time, some idea of the preparations the civil service were making for a Neil Kinnock victory. Our political correspondent, Eleanor Garnier, has been stepping back in time.
And now, it is time. Time for the next Prime Minister, Neil Kinnock.
It's April 1992. Sheffield Arena is packed with 10,000 Labour Party members.
We're all right! We're all right! We're all right!
There's still a week to go until the general election, but it feels like the party leader, Neil Kinnock, has already started the celebrations.
Comrades, friends, we're on our way to victory. In 9 days' time, Britain will have a Labour government.
The very real prospect of Neil Kinnock winning meant civil servants in Whitehall needed to prepare for change, big change, a new party in government for the first time in 13 years. As it turns out, there had been a bit of planning going on, hundreds of pages of it. All revealed now, after the BBC's freedom of information expert Martin Rosenbaum spent 2 years fighting for the documents.
I was turned down by the Cabinet Office, I was turned down then by the Information Commissioner. I then appealed to the Information Rights Tribunal, which was going to hear the case next week. And what's happened is just before that tribunal hearing, the Cabinet Office has caved in.
Neil, now Lord Kinnock, told me what it had been like finally reading the papers.
Last week, one of your colleagues contacted me and told me that after 2 years' struggle, he'd managed to get these documents. So when it came through, I kept on watching my printer at home in this tiny room I've got as a sort of office. Glenys just said it's a dump for all my papers. But it kept on spewing out. And every so often I'd lean over and think, oh, this must be repetition. No, it was the next page and the next page and the next page. So my heart sank in my boots. I thought, how long is this going to go on? How much am I going to have to read? In the end, it came to over 100 pages.
What's it been like reliving, 92?
I suppose the word that would be used now, though it's overused, is weird. Because it is a blast from the past. Obviously, I'm familiar with the material that went into it, but there were several charming features.
And the detail is so deep. I mean, they go into giving you advice on how much money you're going to have to spend on not only your clothes, but your wife's clothes for all the formal occasions. And the dinners you might have to pay for staff who leave Downing Street.
Yes, exactly. It's a daft system that still exists, of course. Even now, the obligations of dress, which wouldn't have bothered me because it all comes from Marks and Sparks. and the idea that here is a job that carries with it those obligations, you cannot let the country down, it can be quite oppressive when a prime minister is a person of very limited means.
Another obligation that would have come pretty quickly had you got the keys to number 10 was the Queen's speech. And there is actually a draft Queen's speech in here.
They had obviously talked to our people. There would have been quite a few changes in it, actually. But the drafting is delightful. Naturally, there's some sentences in it, as there always are in the Queen's speech, that are utterly meaningless. But that isn't the fault either of our policy drafters or them. They simply had to speculate on the possibilities.
the typescript that it is written in, I mean, it's only 1992, but it does look old. When we look back through the documents, they look dated, they look aged. Yes. One area that the civil servants seem to have opposition to is your plans for the freedom of information. And that really is the area where they're making suggestions, changes to your ideas. Ironic then that it's taken the BBC 2 years under a freedom of information request to get these very documents.
Extraordinary. They actually say, in terms, we see no reason why you can't introduce the Freedom of Information Act. And then they go on to focus their arguments. They mooted the idea of a charge for use, which, of course, we would have dismissed.
There must be so many times now that you are in the Lords that you look back across the lobby and think, you know, to the House of Commons, what if? But these
I don't. If you dwell on these things, it's bound to turn into sour grapes, and they really do give bad indigestion.